we are holding on Ayin Omer Aleph. Bit past three, still three pages, still two and a half, three pages behind today, supposed to be Ayin Gimel. We're holding the line begins Mimshich, just past the middle, just past about the middle of the Amud. Okay. We talked in the Mishnah about the Ben Sarer murder, to be chayiv as a Ben Sarer murder, you have to eat meat and drink wine, and we discussed the amount of wine and what type of wine. So now we're going to get into a little agadta about wine. Amar Chan. Wine was only created in the world, meaning when you get down to it, I mean, wine has so many negative things that happen because of it. Why did the Eved to create the concept of wine in the first place? The reason is in order to comfort the Avelim, to make them feel better, like this, they can drown their sorrows in drink, as they say in English, and to pay a reward for the Rishoyim, meaning like this, they enjoy it in Olam Hazeh, and that way they get rewarded for the that way they can get their full, the appropriate punishment. Then
but
you know
that's
have
the case. Why do we need to make kiddush on wine?
So once wine exists already, then we use it for other purposes as well. But the point is, if wine hadn't existed, we would have made kiddush on something else. We would have had something else. Shenema, the pasuk says tnu sheicho la'oved. The pasuk said, for that matter, also keep in mind also kiddush can be made on grape juice in principle. Here we're talking about wine, as in
wine.
No, but we learned in Baba Basra, for example, that a person can squeeze a cluster of grapes and make kiddush on it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Tnu sheicho la'oved, give strong drink, alcoholic drink, to the one who's getting lost. The yayim amari nefesh, and wine to those who are bitter of spirit." So the Oved is the Rosho, who's going to be lost because he's going to get a scar in this world and then lost in El Mava. The Morin Nafesh are the Avelim, who need it to drown their sorrows. There is an Indian to make it on wine. You don't have to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We have to look into it. Another thing, what does it mean? Another pasuk in Mishlei says, don't look at the wine, meaning don't focus on it and end up getting addicted to it. Ki yis adam, the fact that it's red. Yis adam, what do you mean it will be red in full? Yis adam sounds like future tense, but it's not. The wine is already red. It means al teira yayin, it means don't pay too much attention to wine and get addicted to it. Shemadim pneim shalishoyim ba'ozmazeh, it causes that the faces of the rishoyim will be red with it in this world, meaning that they'll enjoy it. Well, malim pneim ba'ozmazeh, but then it embarrasses them in Olam Haba, because they realize they don't have anything to show for having been in this world.
It should be sharing in this world, so that
it's 2 months. That's the point. They end up enjoying it in this world, and then when they come to the next world, that's the point. If they do sugar, then all the better. But we're saying, in other words, don't focus so much on the wine, because you're going to wind up. That's what Rishayim do. They focus on drinking wine, and they enjoy it. Their faces are ruddy and enjoying in Olam Hazeh, but then they're pale Olam Hazeh. The Ben Yehoyado, I think it is, also points out the word Yis Adam also breaks down into Yesei Dam, meaning there will come blood, as in like this, the blood is going to come and drain from their faces, lots of loving. Rav Omer, Rav says a different meaning, I'll say the Yayin to Yis Adam is I'll say the Yayin Shacharisei Dam. The end of wine is blood, meaning, like you say in our Mishnah, for example, Ben Sarer murder gets addicted to wine and he ends up getting executed for it. Other cases also, a person drinks too much and it ends up causing them trouble. So that's also, I'll say to Yayin Kiyas Adam, don't look too much at wine because it leads to blood. Rav Kahana's wrong. Rav Kahana pointed out a contradiction in the way the word is written and the way it's pronounced. It's ki rosh, we're calling it ki rosh. One of the words for wine in Tanakh is ki rosh. In modern Hebrew, it's ki rosh. And in Greek, in Tanakh, not necessarily, ki rosh is just a synonym for wine, practice. But it's usually spelled, most of the time, it's spelled ki rosh without the vav. Which therefore can be read as ki rosh with a comet. But we read it ki rosh with a cholam.
So what is it? It means zocha nafta rosh. And the person is zocha and drinks wine for the right reasons. And in the right way, for example, Rashi says, he knows to be careful not to drink too much, then it's good for him. Not the rush, then he becomes a leader because of it. So as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, a moderate amount of wine helps open up your mind and makes you able to learn better.
Tirosh, Marsha points out, Tirosh, therefore, comes with it, it makes up the word, Tihi Rosh, you will be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the other hand, Loizapha Nasa Rosh, on the other hand, if he's not Zerfa, he doesn't know how to use it properly, he becomes poor from it. So Tirosh, Tihi Rosh, you will become poor.
Rosh is poor?
Rosh means poor, yeah. Rava Rami, Rava pointed out a similar contradiction. Sid Yishamach was declaring Yishamach. We have the process of Yayin Yishamach Lavavanosh, but again, it's written with a sin, which means, therefore, it can be written, it can be read as if it said Yishamach with a shin. So the sin and sin in a state of Torah look the same, yeah. The Yad Ramah explains slightly differently. He says the vote is that he says that in the manuscript Tillim that they had in his, some of the ones they had in his time, they actually had a pre-exil there where it said Yisamach, but it said Yisamach with a hey, and then it's read Yisamach with a hey.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point? It's all from the Samsa. Again, a person is Zorcha and knows how to use wine properly in the Samsa. It makes him happy. Zaka, Yisamach. If he's not there from the Shamanehu, then it desolates him. The Shaman, the Loshan desolation. Even if we don't have the clear sieve about the hay and the ches, we find many times a Chazal Darshan words that are written with a ches as if they're written with a hay or vice versa. They sound, so it's all Ashkenazim, they don't sound the same.
Sardim, they sound, the hay and a ches sound very similar.
Sardim,
they pronounce the ches gutturally.
So therefore, that's very similar. I said it's a hay. So you have, and you have a chud. So they're very similar. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So therefore, so that's the point of the Drasha, is that you can doubt the word Yishamach as being similar to the word Yishamach. As opposed to Yishamach, it makes him happy if he knows how to use it appropriately. Behind the Omer Rava, and thus we find that Rava said, Chamra v'rechni pachin, wine and good fragrances made me smart. So we see that using wine in the right way helps a person become even smarter. Because of a moderate amount of it helps open up your mind. Okay. What does it mean? Here's another pasuk in Mishlei, also about wine. It says like this: Lemi oi, who has the woe? Lemi avoy, to whom is the avoy? Is another word of woe, of crying out, Rashi says. Lemi medamim, who has the fight? Lemi siach, who has the troubles? Siach, Rashi explains it, tsar, ordered the sikhi varima. Lemi ptsoyim chinam, who ends up getting wounded for no reason? Or actually, Marsha says a little bit differently, not so much for no reason, but like he doesn't even know who hit him to go and take the guy to base and at least get the money for it. So lemi chachlilus enayim, then who has red eyes? All of that is lama achrim alayayin. All of that ends up by people who stay out late drinking wine. Laboyim lachum nimsa, those people who go around looking, checking into where is the good spiced wine available to drink. Or Marsha says that they go looking like, is this wine good quality stuff that I should drink? So therefore, that's what I'm saying. He also said of Dimyama, when a demon came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Amri B'ma Rava, they said in Eretz Yisrael, Haikra, this particular passage, can be understood in two ways. Man de Dorosh le Meresh le Seif and Midrash, you're able to understand this passage reading from beginning to end, like we just did, meaning, or not like we just did, one second. Meresh le Seif would be what we just said. Who ends up having all those negative consequences? People who indulge too much in wine. But also, Seif le Reish and Midrash, you can also douch in it the other way around. The Pasuk is saying, if we can also understand it, for someone who has oy and avoy and siach, meaning avelin, and people who get into arguments and hurt other people or other people hurt them for nothing, namely rishayim, and people who have red eyes, meaning that they're very comfortable, Rashi says, those are the kind of people for whom it's appropriate to have wine. Because we said before that wine is for Avelin and for Rishayim, and a moderate amount of it is for people who need it in order to be able to learn comfortably. Like we find in the bracha for Yehuda, Chachlili Einayim Miyayim, that the Yaakov gives him a bracha, his eyes will be red from wine, meaning not red like the kind of like the red drunkard's eyes are red, but in other words, like he'll be comfortable, he'll be living comfortably, and he'll drink wine in an appropriate amount. So therefore, so the passage can be understood both ways, that the negative consequences of wine are all those things, or the other way around, somebody who's suffering those consequences, somebody who's suffering those things already, or somebody who acts in those ways already, they're the ones for whom wine is appropriate. They're the ones for whom wine is created. Sort of, in that sense.
The more they drink, the more they...
No, because we're saying, for example, an oval, it's not that his drinking didn't cause an avails. No, in other words, he still has to control himself. But the point is, wine helps him get over his avails.
Kind of Mara doesn't talk about most people when they start drinking wine, they start crying afterwards.
There are other circumstances.
It always happens.
Okay.
Where they stop crying and they take a breath.
It's true. Okay. I mean, that's another thing. That's the Oya Navoy. Maybe that's the Oya Navoy who ends up having the woe and the moaning and the siach and whatever. Yeah, that's all part of that. Doresh Oiver Glila, a person who was passing through from the Galil, once said the following Doresha, further about wine. Yud Gimel Vavin Nemru Bayayin. There's 13 Vavin, or rather not so much Vavin, but Vav Yud, that are said in connection with wine. The first time that wine is mentioned in the Torah is the story where Noach planted a vineyard after the Mabel and became drunk, and then there were the events that happened afterwards, as we'll learn, we'll douch in it in a minute. And so there's 13 Vav Yud that it says in the Pesukim over there. Vayochel Noach Isha Adama. Noach, the man of the earth, began or profaned himself. Vayikakorim, and he planted a vineyard. That's two. Vayesh Menayayim, drank from the wine. Vayishkar, and he became drunk. Vayiskal Basayich Aloy, and he became uncovered in his tent. Vayar Chom Avi Knan Es Ervas Aviv. Chom, the father of Knan, and Chom, the father of Knan, saw the nakedness of his father. Vayagev the Shneach of Bachut, and he told his two brothers outside. Vayikach Shem Vayefes Vasimla. So, and Shem and Yefes took a garment. Persis points out the Vav and Yud of Vayefes don't count to the 13, because the Yud of Yefes is part of the name. It's not a Yud as in a verb, it's part of a noun. Anyway, so Vayikach Shem Vayefes Vasimla. Vayasimu Hashem Shem, and they placed it on the shoulders of the both of them. Vayehu Acharanis, and they walked backwards. Vayechasu Aseres Avihem, and they covered their father's nakedness. Ufneim Vagomer, and their faces were turned around so they didn't see their father's nakedness. Then the next passage continues. Vayiketz Yoach Minyenei, and Noach woke up from his wine. Vayeda Esesher Asalei Bnei Akatan, and he understood and he knew what his young son had done to him. So we have 13 Vav Yuds over there, where Vav Yud spells out the word Vay. Which means whoa. Maybe chum. Chum. We're gonna say it's not chum to him. But the point is, we have 13.
Why do we say
Hashem Yatzor? Chayin is not the same as chum. Oh no, yeah. Originally he was a good guy, but now he went to
Galil.
Yeah, off the derech. But I mean, whatever. He made a mistake. We're not saying all of them are negatives, but the point is all of them. But the positive of Shem and Yefes covering their father wouldn't have had to happen if it hadn't been for the original negativity. So it's all part of it. The point is we have 13 vies representing the amount of woe that comes into the world when a person drinks inappropriately. Why 13 at this? There's one of them, the Poseidon, says that it corresponds to the fact that you're doing Midas Arachmim, that now during a Pesach Mitzvah, we're invoking them over and over. A person who does like this kind of takes those and flips them around, and they end up becoming Midas of woe and trouble. He says also...
The other way around.
He says also...
If you need to get out of it, you need
the Avish Zachman. Right. So we're talking about a person who he also points out, by the way, that when we said before, we quoted the pasuk Tnu Sheikha La Oved, and we said the Oved means the Rasha who's gonna be lost from this world anyway, the Gematria, the word Oved is 13. Also related to this 13 over here. That's a different thing. We learned earlier that before a person is executed, they have to come back and drink wine with frankincense in it and with dull senses. Yeah, but here we're talking about a person who drinks just for the sake of drinking, just for the sake of getting drunk, and we see that it has bad consequences, as it did with Noach. Okay, so what happened? What does it mean? Asha also like Noach Kaftan, what his little son or his young son did to him? Rav and Shmuel, so Rav and Shmuel disagree what he did. Chad Omer Sersoi v'chad Omer Ravoi. One says that Chom castrated him, and the other one says that he had relations with him. Mandra Omer Sersoi, the one who says that he castrated him, how did he learn that? He says, Metetra Tilkaloi v'Ravi, since Chom, by doing so, prevented Noach from having a fourth son, because we're saying over here, Vayiskal v'Sai Aholoi, he was actually, the word Aholoi is actually spelled over the hay in the Pasuk to clear Tziv, and it means that he was in his wife's tent. He was intending to have relations with his wife now that the marble is over and the world needs to be repopulated. He's going to have relations with his wife and he's going to have a fourth son. And then this way, there'll be four children of his from whom the world will be repopulated. Chum prevented that from happening. Because of that, kill the labor to be. That's what he's saying. He castrated it.
No, I know, but why?
So Rashi says on the Pasuk over there, based on the Medrash, that Chum figured, look, you know, what is it? Look at this. You know, you have Cain and Hevel, and one of them killed the other. You know, we already have three of us, and we want to have a fourth. Isn't there going to be all the more friction between the brothers? So he had an excuse, but nevertheless, it wasn't a valid reason to. So therefore, Noach cursed him. Therefore, Noach cursed Chum's fourth son. So the Medrash says, actually, that Noach couldn't curse Chum himself. Everybody who had been in the Teva was blessed by Hashem right after the Mabul. So once he received the blessing from Hashem, then Noach doesn't have the ability to curse him. Therefore, the curse had to go to the next generation. But why, out of Chum had four children, Cush, Mitzrayim, Kut, and Canaan, why did he pick to curse Canaan by Yom Oru Canaan? Because Canaan is Chum's fourth son, and therefore that corresponds to Chum preventing Noach from having a fourth son. So the Medrash says that maybe Canaan was the first one who saw it and came told Chum. Exactly, yes. So the Pasuk says, Vayar Chum Avi Canaan, Chum, the father of Canaan, saw it, Erevas Aviv, and went and told his brothers. So the implication is that why is he mentioned the father of Canaan? Because Canaan, his son, first went and saw it and told Chum, and then Chum, yeah. What about Amanda Omad Ravoy? What about the opinion that says that Chum had relations with Noach, sodomized him? How does he know that? Because Gomer Vayar Vayar, including Zeta Shavah from the word Vayar. Here it says that Chum, the father of Canaan, saw the erva of his father. You have the passage by Yaro, it says Shechem ben Hamor, and Shechem ben Hamor saw Dina and took her and raped her. So the same thing, it was the same kind of thing over here. Oh, this is what I was saying, that he didn't curse Chum himself. Tosfos mentions that over here. It comes from the Medrash, but Tosfos mentions it over here.
Why didn't curse himself?
That's wrong, because again, Chum had received a bracha from Eibishter, and therefore Noach isn't able to curse him. Once he had received the bracha, so therefore he had to curse Canaan.
Forfeited his bracha.
No, but still. Okay.
After he castrated his father.
Yeah, but nevertheless. Okay. Bishlam Lamando Amaser. So, okay, I can understand, as we just said, according to the opinion that Chum castrated him, Mishamachi Kiloberi. Fine, as we just said, that's why Noach cursed Chum's fourth son, because he prevented Noach from having a fourth son. El Lamando Amad Rovo, according to the opinion that he sodomized him, Maishno Ravi, why if it's the fourth one, Nalaki Behedya, he should curse him himself, or Marsha says that actually the Gemara can't be asking he should curse him himself, because we just established he couldn't curse him himself because Chum himself had a bracha. No, rather the question. The question rather is, well, again, why is he after cursing the fourth son? If you say Rava, why is the curse falling on Canaan more than any of the other sons of Chum?
Why didn't ask the other sons to curse him if he couldn't?
Because nobody can curse somebody who the Eibishter blessed. Nobody can curse. Besides,
no sons would.
No, I understand, but what good would it do one of them to curse Chum, who was previously one of the children to curse their father? But second of all. If Chum received the bracha from Hashem, then he's immune to being cursed. That's the point. Besides that, also, I mean, you can't ask somebody else to do it. Noach himself, even after this whole degradation and all, he still has nevuah. He still has, when he says that the brachas that he gives to Shem and Yefet, and the curse that he gave to Chum and to Canaan, still last, they last to all generations. So Noach still was a Jehovah Nemensh after all of that. So, he can't delegate that giving the bracha to somebody else. Okay. Anyway. So the question is, again, if we say that Ravoi, then Noach could have cursed any of Chum's children. Why did you pick the fourth one? The answer is Hava Ha'avot. According to that opinion, you would say that Chum did both things. He attacked and castrated him, and that prevented him from having a fourth son, and therefore he cursed his fourth son. But in addition, he also learns from the word Vayar that in addition, Ravoi. So both. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of that story. The passage says, "Vayachol Noach Ish HaAdamah." It says that Noach, the man of the land, began, or Vayachol can also mean he profaned himself. He took himself down a level. Vayita Karem, and he planted a vineyard. Why is he called him Ish HaAdamah? Why is he called the man of the earth? Means Omer of Zachai, Omer Loya Kadosh Baruch Hu Noach. It means the Eibishter tells Noach at that point, Noach. Shouldn't you have taken a lesson from Adam Rishon? Where his whole problem from the Chet Kadash was caused by wine, by wine, as we're going to see in a second. You have a few different opinions what the Eitz Hadas is. This is going according to the opinion that it was grapes. So you should have learned from him that it's dangerous stuff. The point is still it caused him trouble. By drinking, he made it inappropriate.
Yeah, but
You shouldn't have started with this. The Medrash also adds that at least, fine, Noach wants to plant something first after the marble, fine, start with something that's more useful, start with wheat or bread, whatever, start with vegetables or whatever. Why do you have this grapes you started with? This explanation of Reb Zakkai goes according to the opinion that says that the tree that Adam ate from was none other than grapevine. The Tanya, as we learn in the Brice, and Taka have a machlokes about this. Reb Meir Omer Oitzer Ilan Sha'achol Adam Rishon Mena Gevinaya. The tree that Adam ate from was a vine. Because the one thing in the world that brings the most crying and then trouble to a person, as we just said before in the Gemara, is wine. So therefore, it's logical that that is what caused the ultimate.
It's called a tree.
The
wine.
Yeah, the grapevine is a tree. Yeah.
It's called an
apple. Yeah, of course. You say very pre-ate that grapes. Yeah. So therefore, it makes sense. It doesn't look like a tree, but it does. It has woody branches. It's not as tall as a tree, and it spreads out on the ground by itself. It's not, the branches aren't strong enough to stand up by themselves. You either have to put them on trellises or whatever, or you let it sprawl on the ground. But whatever, it's a tree. So anyway, the point is, Rashi says, that therefore it's logical that, given that wine has that tendency to cause trouble and crying and whatever in the world, then it's logical that it also caused the crying and all the troubles that are caused as a result of the chetes adam. Some Sifri Kabbalah expand on that, by the way. I think we mentioned a while back, when we learned about the state of Adam, what happened during the day that Adam was created. We mentioned that he was commanded about the Eitz Hadas in the ninth hour of the day, and then he ended up eating from it. If he had waited three more hours till Shabbos had come, it would have been mutter for him to eat. So in Sifri Kabbalah, I think the Shalach Kodesh talks about this, but I don't remember for sure. But anyway, the idea is, according to this opinion that it was a grapevine, what would have happened come Shabbos is he would have taken it and made Kiddush on it. And then that would have been the Kiddush of the world, and that would have been, that's it. Then the world has accomplished its purpose, and now we have Yemos HaMashiach. But it didn't happen. Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, as far as Yolala, the Balaturim points out, when it says, again, the first time it mentions in the Torah, it mentions wine, is by Noach. It says Vayesh min Hayayin, Vayishkar. The word Hayayin, Balaturim points out, has the same gematria as Yolala, which means wailing. So that's the connection. Rabbi Yehuda and Mechita, yeah? Rabbi Yehuda says that it was wheat that was Mechita, that was Eitadas. And why wheat? She'ena kinet yedei likra abba ve'imach yit and tam dogan. Because you see that a child does not learn how to even call their parents' names or to be able to speak until they eat grain. And therefore, if it's called Eitadas, it's called the Eitadas Tovarah, that's the tree that gives you knowledge of good and evil. It's logical that it's associated with something that nowadays you see also gives knowledge to a child. No, now we're talking about Adam. By the way, so how do you call it a tree? So on the side over here, it brings from Ein Yaakov and from other places that before the Chetei Tadas, wheat tackle grew on tall stalks, the tallest trees. And it'll be that way again, lost in love. It changed after the Chetei Tadas, I don't know, especially according to the opinion that it was wheat, didn't it? One of the first of the Torah Chaim says it may not have been raw wheat. You can't eat raw wheat. It may have been no loss of love, where the earth is going to produce ready-made loaves of bread and ready-made clothes. And it was like that before the Chetei Tadas as well. So therefore, it may have been a tree that produced ready-to-eat loaves. Nehemiah says that it was a fig tree, because the same thing that they messed up with, that they ate from, is the same thing that the Eidish fixed them up with. Meaning, in other words, so what happened? They dressed themselves afterwards in fig leaves. So and that was their first clothing when they realized that they have a problem. They're naked and Eidish is present. So therefore, and we know that's the Eidish's usual midah, that the same thing that he works with, he also heals with. Rashi gives an example, for example, of this mikdash was destroyed by fire, and as you say, Nachem and Tisha B'Av, Vania Erla Chayim Nasei Shtavah, the Eidus says, I will be a wall of fire around Yerushalayim, Lost and Mother. What? No, the point is that the Eidus destroyed Yerushalayim with fire, and he will rebuild it with fire. It's the same thing. Yeah, Tosfos, by the way, argues differently. Bonnie Takni doesn't mean the Eidish to fix them up with it. It means they themselves, Tosfos brings from the Medrash that they needed leaves from a tree in order to cover themselves, but no other tree wanted to give them leaves. Now you're talking, you sinned against the Eidish and you want me to donate leaves to you. Only the fig tree, because it's the one they did the Aveda with, therefore kind of, you know, it sort of went along with them and allowed them to take its leaves. Okay.
A couple of the Acharonim, the Binyan Shlomo, and some others point out that maybe what Rashi is referring to is it says that afterward, Adam spent 130 years doing tshuva after Chatei Tadat, and one of the things is during that time, he wore girdles of fig leaves all that time, because they're uncomfortable. Instead of regular clothes, he wore that, so maybe that's what it's also included. And Bonnie Taknu, he used that for his tshuva. Okay, anyway. So name of Ayistu Ali Seina, as the Pasuk says, they sewed themselves together fig leaves for coverings. So those are the three opinions what the Chatei Tadat was. Okay. Now going back to the... So we have that it was wine, that it was wheat, or that it was fig. The Medrash brings a couple of other possibilities. The Medrash brings another opinion that it was an esrog, and another opinion that it's an unknown species. But sort of God didn't want to tell us that, so you don't every time you see that kind of tree look at that. That's the tree that caused destruction in the whole world. Okay. Going back to the matter of wine, we have a section, the last paragraph of Mishlei, starts off like this. Divrei Lemuel Melech, the words of Lemuel the king, Masa she yisratu imai, the burden, meaning the toichacha that his mother gave him Musar. So what does this mean? First of all, who is Lemuel? Rashi says that Lemuel is a nickname for Shlomo Melech. Lemuel implies that he's supposed to be devoted to Hashem. Lemuel means to Hashem. Lemuel, Rashi says, like you have psukim lemoi pi, for example, like to my mouth. So it's a poetic way of saying lamed mem vav. It's a poetic way of saying two. So Lemuel Melech means the king who's supposed to be devoted to Hashem. Masa asher yisratu imo, the burden of the teichacha that his mother gave him Musar. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Yechon and Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai melamed shekfa'atu imo ela amud. It means that his mother Bathsheba tied him to a post to give him malchus. Yisur, Yisratu Imur is Meloshin Malkus. We're going to learn later on about Ben Sarah Murder. Yisur, it means it gets Malkus. So now, why is that? One second. So what happened? Hold on. He wasn't a kid by this point. He was a little older. But, so Rashi says it was by the Chanukah Beis Hamikdash. Actually, Rashi doesn't say it here. But the Medrash says Rashi just says that she saw that he's a Baal Hanah, that he's very much into Hanah of this world, the Maariv Sudas, and he's too much into his Sudas. So therefore, she was giving him Musa. The Medrash expands on it and explains like this: we know that Shlomo married Bas Pared. Then shortly after that, he began building the Beis Hamikdash. It took 7 years, he finished the Beis Hamikdash. The Medrash says that on the same day he finished the Beis Hamikdash, on the same day that the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash was supposed to be taking place, is also the day that he finally married Bas Pareh. Up until that point, they had been engaged. Now they got married. So he stayed. It was after David died. He took over as king after David died. Okay, but the Rambam says he was Megayer her, but still it wasn't necessarily a proper gator according to the technicalities of halacha, but he should have checked into, is she doing it for the right reasons, or is she just doing it because she wants to marry and then be close to the famous rich Shlomo, whatever, anyway. So what happened was, the Medrash says, that first of all, so, you know, she kept him up late, so therefore he slept in the next morning, and actually a Medrash on Tillim adds that what she did is she put a canopy over his bed that had pictures of the stars and the moon and whatever embroidered on it. So every time he'd open his eyes and look around, he'd see that. He'd think it's still the middle of the night and go back to sleep. So therefore, he ended up sleeping in very late in the morning. And what happened was the keys to this mitzvah were under his pillow. So nobody wants to go in and wake him up. Until they come and tell Bathsheba, look, it's already 4 hours into the morning. We need to bring the carbon tomb, it's going to be too late. So therefore, she went in and woke him up and then gave him Musa. And then, as Gemara is saying over here, she tied him to a post to give him Malchus. But Amra, just says Shekhvati Mala Amud, how could say that? She says to give him Malchus. Did she actually give him Malchus? I don't know. How old was he at the time? So he was 12 when he became king. This is, he started building this Mikdash in the fourth year of his reign. It took 7 years to build. So we're talking the 11th year of his reign. So we're talking he would have been 23. Okay.
Wasn't he upset with Bas Pareh?
I guess afterwards he was upset that she tricked him like that or whatever. Had he meet her in the first place? I don't know. Pareh wanted to ally with him. Okay, anyway. But Omer Eloy. So she says to him like this. The psukim say as follows. So you have this divrei lemuel melech masa asher yisratu imo. She starts, the pasuk starts saying like this. The mabri ume bar bitni ume bar nedorai. What my son, what the child of my womb, and what the child of my neder. So what does this mean? Mabri, when she says, what, my son, means she's saying to him, look, Hakol Yoidim Shavricha Yorishamayim, Abba, everybody knows that your father, David, was a Yorishamayim. Achshav Yoimru, now when they see like this, that you're acting like a Rasha like this, they're not going to attribute it to David. They're not going to say, look, David's son is acting like that. They're going to attribute it to me. They're going to say, I'm a no-goodnik. They're going to say, his mother must have been a no-goodnik, and she's the one who taught him to be like that. So Mabri, Hayitach, and you, my son, are acting like that, and you're making me look bad. Marsha adds also, first of all, the reason why the Gemara wants to darshan this way is because most of Sefer Mishlei, like most of Tanakh, is written in Hebrew. The word bri and bar bitni and bar nadara is Aramaic. What's Aramaic doing over there in the middle of a pasuk in Hebrew? So therefore, the Gemara wants to understand that the word bar doesn't just mean a son, it's also meloshin borur, clear. Like it's clear to everybody that David was a tzaddik, but you're not acting like that. So therefore, people are going to think it's clear that he's his mother's son. When she continues,
but wait a minute, Avram was a tzaddik, and Sarah was a tzaddik, and
what? Yitzchak was a tzaddik.
Yitzchak was a tzaddik, but Yishmael wasn't a tzaddik.
Fine, even if they ate them. Okay, you have exceptions, but in general, people figure that a person gets his character from one or the other of his parents. People are going to figure it can't have been David, it must have been Bathsheba.
So why they didn't say anything about Avram and Sarah?
Maybe they did, I don't know. Okay, anyway. She says, "Umer bar bitni." She says, "What the son of my womb?" What does that mean? Kolam nashem shal beis avicha. Look how much she says. Look how much I tried to make that you should be the best you could possibly be. All the other women of all the other wives of your father, kibin shemis abris, once they became pregnant, shuvin and royas ne'amelach. They wouldn't bother seeing the king, have relations with him again. They're already pregnant. Why should they bother having relations again? Whereas Bathsheba says, I pushed my way and came in, in order that your father should have relations with me during the last part of the pregnancy, in order that I'll have a son who's very vigorous and very clean, because the Gemara mentions in Nida that the parents having relations during the last 3 months of the pregnancy is good for the mother, and it's also good for the baby. It helps make the baby more vigorous. So I did that. The Hayitach, and then that you're acting the way you are. And she continues, Umer bar nedorai, what the son of my nedorim, meaning kol noshem shal beis avicha hayu nedris, all the other wives of your father, all the other women in the palace would make a neder, Yeheli ben hogun lamalchus. They would say, I'll make a neder. If I end up having a child who's suitable to be royalty, then I'll take on myself such and such a mitzvah or whatever. Whereas I would make my nedarim in terms of Yehebi ben Zoraz umamula batorah v'hogrim l'nevius. If I have a son who's vigorous and who's full of Torah and then is suitable to be a Navi, then I will take on myself this extra mitzvah or whatever. So I was doing the best for you. How are you talking? You're acting that way. And now she continues, which is the reason why we're bringing this Gemara in over here. Now what happened was, the night before he had drunk too much wine. That's why he slept in.
Why did you do that?
He didn't realize that it's going to cause these big problems. So she continues, Allah Malachim Lemoyel. She continues, not for kings Lemoyel. Allah Malachim Shasar Yayin. Not for kings to drink wine. What does that mean? Allah Malachim, what does it mean? She says, not for kings. On the low, she says to him, Malacha Ita Malachim Shashayim Yayin Mishtakim Va'omim Lomalonu Kale. What do you have to do? Why should you be any similar in any way to the kings who drink wine and get drunk? And they say loma lomo kale, which actually with the moyo as meaning why loma kale? Why do we need Hashem? Who needs him? Don't be like that. What are you doing? Acting like those goyish kings who act that way. V'lo roiznim e sheicher, and she continues, for roiznim there should not be drink. Roiznim means mishkol rosa olam glu. The simple meaning of roiznim means leaders. But they're rulers. But we're darshaning Misha called Roza Olam Gluyim Loi, somebody who all the secrets of the world are revealed to him, meaning you, Shlomo HaMelech, are the wisest of all men. You should drink wine and get drunk. It's beneath you. Ikadamri, or another version, as she said to him, that Rozne means Misha called Rozne Olam Mashkim Lepischai, the person who all the leaders or all the rulers of the world get up early to come to his door to learn Chachma from him. Yet Yishtayayin Vishtaka, should such a person be drinking wine and get drunk? So this is the mussar that she gave him. Amar Rav Yitzchak, minayin shechaza Shlomo v'hoideli. How do we know that Shlomo Taka in the end ended up conceding and agreeing that his mother had said right? Because you have another pasuk in Mishlei. This is in the Rashi says it's in the same parasha, but it's actually not. It's in the previous parasha. It's in the previous parak of Mishlei. But he starts off by saying ki bar anochi me'ish. He says I'm more foolish than man. V'leibinas Adam li, and I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the understanding of Adam. What does this mean? Kibara noichi mi irish means mi noyach. It means I'm more foolish than noyach. And noyach is called an irish dichtiv, as we said before, yachal noyach isha adama. So I should have learned from him. I was more foolish than him because he didn't have as much to learn from. I did. I should have learned from him what the consequences are. V'lei binas adam li, and I don't have the understanding of adam, the adam rishon. So they didn't have as much from whom to learn. I did, and therefore, yes, I should have known better. And therefore, my mother was right in giving me mussar. Yeah.
Okay. The Kohen Gadol has certain dinim when it comes to the, he doesn't have to stand, the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to stand up in front of the king. We had this in Rambam recently, but
both Perek Achad and Shlosha Prakim, because now we just finished, nevertheless, other than that, no, Kohen Gadol still has to treat the king with dignity. But Pashto, it's only his mother, but only his parents could do such a thing. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. No, he maybe drank small amounts. He did maybe like Rava, come over there to Pakman, but he didn't drink to excess like Shlomo did.
Okay.
By the way, there's a Mishnah someplace that mentions that there was one time when the Korban Talmud was brought 4 hours into the day, where usually they bring it right after Netzachama. Mm-hmm. That's by the story over here, where Shlomo slept until 4 hours, and then wake up and then.
The first
Korban. Yeah. Well, the first in the Mishnah. Okay. All right, getting back to the mission.
The first time they're offering.
They're going to be offering in this message. No, because you gave the carbon hummer the first carbon of the day. No, before that, you had the Mishkan. Yeah, indeed.
That's how we spoke about the
lunchbox before. Okay. All right. Getting back now, let's get back to Ben Sarah Ramada. The Mishnah said, Ocha b'chavuras mitzvah. The Mishnah said that if the Ben Sarah Ramada eats his meat and drinks his wine in a group for mitzvah, then he's not a Ben Sarah Ramada.
Amar Rav Abahu, so Rav Abahu says on this, Eni chayev abshir yecho b'chavuras shekolot srikim. The only chayev as a Ben Sarah Ramada if he eats it with a group of all empty people, raking, actually, empty people, like a gang of 6 people, they're going to be the kind who are going to get him used to doing such a thing as an addiction. If he's in a company of decent people, he's not going to get too addicted to it, so he won't get. Next question is, our mission didn't say anything about who the people are. It just said if it's in a group for a mitzvah, then he doesn't become a Ben Sarah Ramada. Implying time of the mitzvah. Why is he not a Ben Sarah Ramada? Because the meal for a mitzvah, whole lot of mitzvah, implying that if it wasn't a mitzvah, half a god the lot called it to him. If it wasn't a state of mitzvah, then apparently it doesn't matter who the other eaters were. So what is Rav Abahu saying? The Mishnah is telling us, even if it's a complete, even a gang of all empty-headed people, nevertheless, given the mitzvah, chaotic, since it's involved in doing a mitzvah, since it's a mitzvah, when Nimshech, we don't expect he's going to get addicted like that, and therefore he won't be a Ben Sarah Ramada. So you need both, in other words. It needs to be not a sort of mitzvah, and it needs to be a gang of Srikim. No, it's a Chakula sick in the back of all of them. Apparently, if one of them is a good guy, then
not. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, we continued in the Mishnah, that let's say he ate by the meal that they make for Ibra Chodesh. The Rashi explains like this. We know that a month can be 29 or 30 days.
So it can happen that based in it can happen that a month ended up being 30 days. Aiden didn't come in time, or they weren't going to come at all, so the moon wasn't going to be visible that night. What they do is, it actually describes, they get together, 10 or more people go up to a second floor of a house where everybody sees them, and they have a meal over there in order to be mefarsim in the fact that this is an Iber, that this is an Iber month, that this is a 30-day month.
And the Mishnah says, if he ate by such a thing, then he's not a Ben Sarah Ramada.
The question is, remember the Dubas of a Yayin Maskil? You're telling me they bring meat and wine to the Seder of Ibra Chodesh. We say that you only go up to it with bread made out of grain and beans. Rashi asked the question, why does it have to mention bread made out of grain? As opposed to what? As opposed to rice bread. No, but the question is, given that he can only be Ben Sarah Ramada if he eats meat and drinks wine, so if he buys food of Ibra Chodesh, they're only serving bread and beans anyway, there's nothing for him to eat to be a Ben Sarah Ramada. Anyway, so Rashi leaves it as a question. Rashi says that maybe it means, okay, so maybe it means as opposed to a loaf of bread made out of rice or whatever, but why do we have to point that out? A couple of Acharonim with Akademdin and some others point out the point of it may be that Bryce has said it that way in order to make that we shouldn't think that if it said past the kitness, eventually we might think it meant past kitness, bread made out of beans.
In order to clarify that, we use the word dagon to make it clear. We mean bread made out of wheat or barley or whatever, real bread, plus beans. So anyway, so the question is, where is meat and wine? There's no meat and wine on the menu. The answer is Bakum Askalam. Yes, but the chiddush for the Mishnah is Afagabdain Urn or Elohim past the kidney. Even though it is true the menu is only supposed to be only supposed to have bread and beans, which for a couple of reasons, by the way, Mefoshim give a few reasons. One of them is so that they don't get drunk. Another one, like we said before, another one is this way you won't embarrass people who can't afford anything better, whatever. Even though that's supposed to be the menu, the Ihu, Asik, boss of the Yayin, the Awful, this guy, this Ben Sarah murder, brought in meat and wine, which he's not supposed to be doing in the first place, and he ate it over there. Nevertheless, it could have been a mitzvah chaotic, since he was involved in doing a mitzvah, because he's involved in being a pharisee medicine, that's a 30-day month, Lord Mimshich, and he's not going to get addicted to it, and therefore he won't be a Ben Sarah murder. A little bit of detail about this, about the Suda of Ibrah HaKodesh, Tanarabonim. Ein Olam v'Ibrah HaKodesh Pachas Na'aftar B'nei Adam. You have not less than 10 people have to go to the Suda, because again, you need to be a Pirusum, so you need at least 10 people to do it. The Ein Olam v'Ibrah HaKodesh Pachas Na'aftar B'nei Adam. You only bring to it bread made out of grain and beans. The Ein Olam v'Ibrah HaKodesh Pachas Na'aftar B'nei Adam. We only do the Suda on the night before the Yom Yibur, the day of the Ibur, meaning Rashi says after the 30th day. So in other words, what happened was you have normally based in 6 the morning of the 30th, waiting for Adam to come. If no Adam came that day, then that night is when we have the Suda to announce, to make it clear to everybody that it was a Chodesh Mu'ubah. The Ein Olam by Yom Ela Balayla. You don't do the Suda by day, you do it by night.
After the Shiro,
the question is, Valtanya and Balayla El Bayoim, a different writer says exactly the other way around. You don't do it by night, you do it by day. So what is it? Is it by day or by night?
No,
we'd rather not say that. The answer is, Kid Omer Apriba Abba Ligne, it's similar to what Apriba Abba told his children. Achrifu Uru, you should be early and go up. In other words, what you do is, you go, as Rashi explained, you go up there by night, and you make noise of it over there, so that way people, so in other words, like this, they're supposed to be there by night. Go there while it's still daytime. That way people go there early, before night falls. That way people will see you going in, and that way people will be required from it. Because otherwise, if you go in by night, nobody's going to see Achrifu Puku, and go in the morning, go out early, because like this, if you leave that place there first thing in the morning, everybody understands you were sitting there all night, and it'll become a Pearson. If you go over there, if you leave later in the morning, people are going to think, okay, they went up there for a meal for a few minutes. So the point is, therefore, they have to be sitting there and having the Suda throughout the night. So we say Balayla. So they start before nightfall, before Shkia, and they finish in the morning. And they finish in the morning. Maybe they pull it all night. Because like this, they go up at the end of the day. They go up at the end of the day, so people see them going in. The next morning, first thing in the morning, people see them going out. So they understand that they were there all night. And therefore, it makes a piercing. And therefore, you have at the beginning, they're fabricating all night. So, like this, it makes a piercing. Then in the morning, they went there. Then in the evening, they went there before it got dark, so people are still able to see them going. And in the morning, people see them coming out. This way, people will hear that you were there, and this way, it'll make a piercing. So that's the point. The first braisa that says that you do it by night, the main fabricating takes place at night. The second one that says you do it by day means that you're going in, you're starting it by day, you're starting it before nightfall. All right, then the Mishnah continued, Ochel Maiser Sheni Yerushalayim. We said in the Mishnah that if the boy ate Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, meaning he took money of Maiser Sheni, he stole money of Maiser Sheni, he used it to buy meat and wine, and he ate it. So then he's not a Ben Sarer murder. Why not? Keep him to keep Urchel, because that's the normal way of doing it, the normal thing. You eat Maiser Sheni money in Yerushalayim. Given to Urchel, the Ka'afa license, he's eating it in the normal way that it's done. The way the mitzvah is supposed to be done, one nimshich, then again, that's not going to make him addicted. Yeah. This is his father. No, but it's Maiser Sheni money that his father had set aside. Yeah. But having mentioned that, by the way, I mean, the Gemara is not saying that it's because of the Suda's mitzvah. The fact is, if it was Maiser Sheni money, he'd be doing a mitzvah with it. The Gemara doesn't seem to be mentioning that point. The Gemara seems to be focusing on the fact that it's the normal way of doing it. So a couple of the Mefarshim say the vort is because we stole the money and then bought food with it, that food doesn't have the kedusha of Maaser Sheni. That would only be if the person himself or somebody who we authorized to do it does it like this, where he stole it, that attack doesn't work as the din of eating Maaser Sheni, but nevertheless, since the normal way of doing it is to buy food in Yerushalayim and eat it, then that doesn't make him a ben seder about it.
What is his father supposed to do with
the mother? The father is supposed to take the money to Yerushalayim and
it was stolen.
Okay, it was stolen. So I don't know if we have to replace it. But, I'm not sure if he's high grafted with it or not, but whatever.
Should be.
Oh, maybe. There's a lot of Mishnah on Rambam says it slightly differently. He says the vort is that a person is only yoyt for the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. A person is only accomplishing the mitzvah of eating the food of Maaser Sheni, but with his own money. Here it wasn't his own money because the father didn't give it to him, he stole it again. Alright, then he said in the Mishnah, Ochol Nevelus Tzreifus Shkotim Uramasim. We said in the Mishnah that if he ate Nevelus Tzreifus Shkotim Uramasim, then he's also not a Ben Seder Murder. Amar Rava, so Rava says, here's another thing, Ochol Besar Oyfen and after Ben Seder Murder. If he eats chicken or bird meat, here we're talking Tahar, we're not talking Tzreifus Bird, we're talking Kosher, he also doesn't become a Ben Seder Murder. Question is, Va'anamtanan Ochol Nevelus Tzreifus, they have to be the meat from an animal, yeah. The question is, implying that if he ate any kind of tahor species, not the ben seder murder. The answer is keeps so what is it? The Mishnah is only mentioning the velus and tzreifus and other things that are also implying that if he ate chicken, he could become a tumor of chicken, he could become a ben seder murder. But Rava is saying not. Where is he getting that from? The answer is kitnan nami masnifin lahashlin. Yes, but what our Mishnah is talking about is, let's say he ate almost a tartimer of meat from a kosher to animal, and then he filled up the rest with nevelus, tzreifus, or whatever, then it won't work. On the other hand, if he ate most of a tartimer of red meat from an animal, a tartimer we said yesterday is a half a mona, according to Rav Chaim Noah, it would be about 8 or 10 ounces or so, according to the Chazon Ish, it would be about double that. Okay, anyway, the point is, if, let's say, he ate 7 ounces, let's say it's 8 ounces. If he ate, let's say, 7 ounces of kosher meat and then 1 ounce of tzreifa meat, no good. The Mishnah had said, nevelus tzreifus shkotim uramasim, can't count it at all. What Rava is saying is, if he eats the whole 8 ounces or most of it of chicken, then that doesn't work. But if he eats 7 ounces of beef and then 1 ounce of chicken, that would work. So the Mishnah is saying, mahashlam. The Mishnah is saying, you can't be mashlam it with tzreifa meat. But to be mashlam it with chicken meat, that you could do. It just can't be mostly. It just can't be mostly chicken.
So it can be 7 ounces of regular meat
and 1 ounce of chicken. That would be enough to make an event so together with the wine and all the other criteria. That would be enough.
Yeah.
Okay, then we said, Ochol Davashul Mitzvah Balaveira. We said, if the Ben Seder Murder ate anything which, aside from the Ben Seder Murder issue, would have been a mitzvah or would have been an Aveira. So what does that come to include? Divine Mitzvah includes Tanchomi Aveira. Divine mitzvah includes even if it's a din de rabbanon. For example, the meal that's eaten from Nicham Avelin. He's only accomplishing a mitzvah de rabbanon. Nevertheless, though, he's still accomplishing a mitzvah, and therefore he's not a ben seder murder, because he won't get addicted to it. The Gemara keeps on establishing, by the way, that when it's a mitzvah, he's not going to get addicted. Maybe one idea is, because it's Yetzer Hara, it's not going to let him get addicted to doing a mitzvah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Dvar Aveira means tainus tibur. What does it mean? Dvar Aveira means even if it was only a din d'rabbanan, for example, he ate on a tainus tibur. That's enough to knock him out of being a ben seder murder. So time am I, so what's the reason? Why should the fact that it involves some other Aveira take him out from being a ben seder murder? The Pasuk says that the parents come to Beis Din and they say he doesn't listen to our voice, that's a meal, only our voice. Because they knew the Kerala from Muslim, implying he doesn't listen to our voice, but he does listen to the Abishli's voice. So if he's eating the Velus and Tracer, so whatever, he's eating out of Tanis Sib or whatever, it means he's not listening to us, and he's not listening to the Abishli either, and therefore that's not what the Pasuk is doing.
Well,
you would think, but nevertheless, there's a cost, that's how it is. So it has to be that the only issue he's doing by this is the fact that he's doing this concept of Ben Seder Murder. No other issue can be involved, not Deraita, not Derabbanan. Only the fact that the only issue that can be involved is that he stole and then he's eating this gluttonous way. Then we said in the Mishnah, Ochol Kol Ma'aser V'lo Ochol Basar. He said if he ate any other food that he didn't eat meat, or Shasa Kol Mashka V'lo Shasa Yain, he drank any other kind of drink, but he didn't drink wine, not a Ben Seder Murder. So, Ochol Kol Ma'aser V'lo Ochol Basar, what does that come to include? La'asuyid, de'vela ke'ilis. That comes to include even if he ate a fig from Keilah. Keilah is the name of a city in Eretz Yehuda, in the south of Eretz Yisrael. The figs from there were really rich and, I guess, kind of fermented or whatever. Devela means a dried, means a dried fig, or a dried date, whatever. Keilah is the name of a place. These were very rich, and they'd fill you up, and they'd make you feel kind of drunk. They'd make you feel a little lightheaded, I guess, because of the sugar or whatever. You'd be like on a sugar high or something. Nevertheless, that still doesn't count as the equivalent of shasa kol mashka v'le shasa yayin. When you say he drank any other drink but not wine, but you still eat vash v'cholov. That comes to include even if he drank milk, or even if he drank honey or milk, which also the sugar high can make him feel kind of as if he drank wine. Titania has, in fact, we learn in a brisa, also the veil of Keilus. If a person ate such a dried fig, the shoset vash v'cholov, or he drank honey. It may not necessarily mean honey. It may mean mead, like the fermented honey drink.
Honey alcohol.
Yeah. Cholov also conceivably could mean fermented milk. I don't know. Anyway. There are alcohol drinks they make in various places in the world out of milk.
Milk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do they do that?
Same idea as you ferment anything else that has sugar in it. You introduce the appropriate bacteria into it, and then they produce carbon dioxide and alcohol. The nichna for mikdash, and if a kohen drinks a ravias of wine and then goes into this mikdash and does the avodah, he's chayav mikdash. So here we're saying that if he ate a devela keilus, he drank honey or milk, and then as a kohen he went into the Beis Mikdash to do the avodah, chayav, then he's also chayav for going into the Beis Mikdash drunk. So therefore, you miss it. So you would think, therefore, that by the same logic, if this Ben Sura Ramoda were to drink honey or milk, and it makes him drunk, the same as wine would, or the same thing, it makes him, fills him up, or makes him feel like he ate meat, maybe he should be chayav. No, dafka has to be meat, dafka has to be wine. Then we said, and the Mishnah finishes off that the only way he becomes a ben sora remoda is if he eats meat, and davka if he drinks wine. On the previous thing, by the way, on the side over here, it says that in Chrysos, it says not chayev, but in chayev misa, he'd be chayev malchus, if he ate the devela keilus or whatever and went into this mitzvah. The misa b'dishamayim is only for the actual wine, but okay. So the Mishnah said, ein nasa ben sora remoda ad sheyecha bosav yishti yayin. So the Braise expands on that. If he ate any other food but he didn't eat meat, he drank any other drink but he didn't drink wine, he doesn't become a Ben Sora Remora, unless he dabke eats meat and dabke drinks wine. This is all like we said in the Mishnah. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Zoylo v'Soyve, as the Pasuk says, that Ben Sora Remora is a glutton and a Soyve, a glutton and a drunkard. The Apopishen Rayodover, even though we don't have a complete proof that the word Zoylo means eating meat and the word Soyve means drinking wine, Zeichelodover, we have a remembrance for it. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, initially, Altihib is Soyve Yayin, don't be among those who drink, who will get drunk on wine, the zolei basolama, don't be among those who gorge themselves on meat. So we see the word sove is used in connection with wine, and the word zolei is used in connection with meat. This was in the Mishnah, but the Braisa adds another line. And you have another pasuk in Mishlei that says, ki sove the zolei yivoresh. The pasuk says, one who's a drunkard and a glutton. This is the next pasuk after the previous one. The sova and the zolo will become poor because they will run out of money. The zolo is the glutton and sova is the drunkard. The sova, the drunkard, the zolo and the glutton, yivoresh, will become poor. Ukroim talbish numa, and the numa, which Rashi says numa means the hanoi, that the person indulges in, kroyim talbish, he ends up dressing in rags. He runs out of money because he uses up all his money on his tivus, and therefore he ends up having to dress in ripped clothes and rags. Amar Rav Zera. So Rav Zera says, here's another thing we can learn from that last pasuk we just quoted. Kala yoshin mebeis medrash, somebody who sleeps in the beis medrash, terosin nasis like kroyim kroyim. His Torah ends up becoming like ripped parts. Because Rashi says like he forgets it, he only remembers bits and pieces, because like you can have, for example, you can imagine, he hears the question and then falls asleep, so he never hears the answer, he hears only the answer without the question, he hears a half a thing and doesn't know, understand how to put it, no, not drunk, but just he falls asleep in the middle of a shir or whatever. Shenemo, kroyim talbish numa, as the pasuk says, the one who sleeps, here we're doubting numa, meloshinus numa mea papa, meaning sleep. Kroyim Kalbish, that he ends up his clothes, his Torah, his rags, is whipped up.
Sounds
alcohol. No, never mind alcohol. These are two different things. One is the evils of drinking. The other one is the problem of sleeping during a shiur. That the person doesn't get the whole picture. No, but not necessarily. A person can sleep in the shiur for other reasons than that he's drunk. Anyway. Okay.
He's drunk.
Okay. Mishnah says, Gunav Mishal Aviv, if this Ben Sarah murder stole money from his father, Ba'achal B'Shus Aviv, and he ate it on his father's property, or Mishal Acherim Ba'achal B'Shus Acherim, or he stole from other people and ate in other people's property, or Mishal Acherim Ba'achal B'Shus Aviv, or he stole money from other people and he ate it on his father's property, in all those cases, in and after Ben Sarah murder, he will not become a Ben Sarah murder. Ad Sheyikne Mishal Aviv, V'yechal B'Shus Acherim, it dafka has to be that he steals from his father and eats it outside of his father's property. For reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, actually, you can have Mishal Aviv and Mishal Imai. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda says you have to have a further detail. He has to steal money from both his father and his mother in order to be chayav, and use it to buy this meat and wine in order to be chayav. The Gemara says, the Gemara says, Gonav Mishal Aviv Achal B'Shus Aviv. Why is it that if he steals from his father's money, but then he eats it in his father's property, why wouldn't he be chayav as a Ben Sarah murder? Afagav the Shchiach Lei, because even though it's easy for him to get the money, it's easy for him to go into his father's wallet, nevertheless, Boyis, he's going to be afraid of his father, and therefore he's going to be afraid that his father is going to catch him, therefore it's not something that he's likely to get addicted to. It's not a behavior that's likely to be repeated over and over. But Mishal Acherim, Ba'achal B'Shus Acherim, if he stole from other people and ate in other people's reshus, then it's the other way around. Afagav B'Leit Boyis, it's true he's not afraid of them finding him. But Lo Shchiach Lei, it's not going to be as easy for him to steal money in the first place from them. How's he going to get a hold of their wallet? So again, it's not likely to be something that he's going to make a habit of. B'choshekin, Mishal Acherim, Ba'achal B'Shus Aviv, how much more so if he steals from other people and eats in his father's reshus? Lo Shchiach Lei Boyis, then you have two things against him being Ben Sarah about it. Two reasons why it won't be a habit, why it won't develop into a habit. Number one, it's hard to get the money. And number two, I'll be afraid of his father catching him. So therefore, Hachiyugna Mishal Aviv, Yechel Rishos Achayim, it has to be, he steals from his father, he eats it in somebody else's Rishos. The Shchiach Leib Leibayis, there it's easy for him to steal the money because his father's wallet is easy for him to get to. He's not afraid of his father catching him because he's eating it in somebody else's property. That's the kind of thing that can be habit forming where he can end up getting addicted to it and become a Ben Sarah murder. That's why it has to be that way. Then the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, I'm actually using Mishal Avon Mishal Imai. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda had said that it has to adapt to be that he steals from his father and his mother. The question is, Ima Manola, where does his mother have any property of her own? Mechora, usually, whatever property a woman brings into a marriage belongs to her husband. The answer is, Masha Kansi Ishakona Baila, whatever a woman acquires, it belongs to her husband. It means, for example, that he stole from a suda that was prepared for his father or his mother, meaning not a suda itself, but it actually says the money of the Gemara is going to say that. The question is, what do you mean? What do you mean he steals the actual suda, the actual meat and wine themselves? But we said yesterday in the Gemara that Rabbanan bar Molda said in the name of Rabbanan, it has to have to be that he buys meat cheaply, and he buys wine cheaply, and eats it. So it can't be he stole the actual meat and wine, because then it wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah.
He has to steal money. No, rather what it means is there was money set aside to buy from it a suda. His parents were planning to go out for their anniversary or whatever. So there was money set aside for their meal. So therefore we can call that money part of that money his mother's money, because she has her husband is chayav to give her mezonos, so her husband is obligated to support her, to give her food. So therefore that money can be considered hers to that extent. And therefore, now,
if the son goes from both.
So that's the point. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda is saying, again, that's not a halacha, but Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda is saying that it has to be money that was set aside for a suda for both of them. That would be one example of how you could have money that belonged to both the father and the mother, and he stole that. Or another possibility, the Achilach, or another possibility, somebody else was machna her money. But Amalan, he says to her, Amanascha in the Bible, Rishus Behen, this is, I'm giving it to you on condition that your husband will have no Rishus over it. So then, in that case, according to some opinions, anyway, Tosus points out it's actually a Machloikas and Kedushin, whether that kind of thing works. But according to the opinions that it does work, then, yeah, so now she has independent money of her own. Somebody else, some third party, gave her money and said, I'm just... One of her friends gives her money and says, "I'm giving it to you. I'm enough that your husband doesn't have any kin in it." Doesn't that sound against the Torah? No. Usually he has everything she owns. But in this case, the davar shel mamon, tnai kayim, able to make a tnai against the dinim when it comes to davar shel mamon. Again, like I said, Tosfos mentions that in Kiddushin it's actually a machlokas where Rav Sheshet holds that it works and Rav Elazar holds it doesn't work. Okay. Fine, but at least according to Rav Sheshet such a thing works. Also, Tosfos points out, even Rav Elazar would hold that, for example, you could have the husband himself gave her money and said that I'm giving it to you, I'm going to ask that I don't have it or show it. It's okay. So anyway, so those are two possibilities. Mishnah continues. What happens now if the father wants to take the son to Beis Din as a ben sarah murder, but the mother does not want to, or the other way around, his father doesn't want to and his mother does, ain't enough a ben sarah murder. He can't become a ben sarah murder. Actually, you shneim roitzim unless both of them agree to it. The basis is mishus. Rabbi Huda says his mother was not suitable for his father, which we'll see in the Gemara, compatible with his father, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Ain't enough to ben Sarah Ramurda, then he can't become a ben Sarah Ramurda.
Is there a
kind? No, hold on, that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara. The question is, my age.
What do you mean that she's not compatible with him? Are you going to say that it means they weren't able to get married because there's an issue of Kari,
that prevents the Kiddushin from being chal? Question is, why? So what? His father is still his father. His mother is still his mother. The Pasuk doesn't say anything about that they have to be married. The Pasuk just says that the Tafsibah of Avuimah, his father or his mother, grab a hold of him and take him to Beis Din. Who cares whether they were validly married or not? So it can't be that Rabbi Huda would hold that.
No, rather, what it means when he says that if he's not compatible with the father, means that she has to be the same as him.
She has to be similar to him in a number of ways. We learn similarly in a Braisa. Rabbi Huda, if the mother is not similar to the father in voice, in the quality of the voice, and in appearance.
Well,
that's what we're going to say in a second. That's according to Rabbi Huda. The thing would never happen. But in principle, it would have to be that have the same voice. And the umamara, they have the same appearance, over koma, and the same height. If they're not the same in those, ain't enough a ben sarah ramurda. Then he can't be a ben sarah ramurda, says Rabbi Huda. My timer, why is that? To amakro, einenu shemea bekeleinu, because the pasuk says he doesn't listen to our voice. Now, keleinu, Rashi says keleinu means our voice, but if it meant our voices, then it would say keleinu with a yud after the lamed. Kuf vav lamed yud nun vav means our voices. Plural. That means two different voices. Kaylenu without a yud means our voice. Our voice. So it's ours, both of ours, but it's a singular voice.
But it may mean that it's a voice that both
agreed on. No, but that's not what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk is using the word test. Fine, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Huda. The Chachamim don't understand the Pasuk that way, but Rabbi Huda is understanding it that way. They have to have the same voice. They have to have the same voice. Well, and whether it's possible or not, that's another matter. The Gemara is going to get to that in a minute, but that's what Rabbi Huda holds. And furthermore, mid kolba in shavim,
based on that possibly established, they have to have the same voice. Then that's a matter of claim of nami but in shavim. It means therefore, evidently, it's possibly the same, that they also have to be similar in appearance and in height. Now, how do you learn one from the other? What does one have to do with the other? The Marshal says an interesting idea like this.
The point is now. So what happens? It has to be that both the father and the mother have tried to talk to him and tell him and get him to stop doing this. He's not listening to our voice. He's continuing with these bad habits of his of stealing and eating and so forth. What happens, for example, given that we establish now the kelenu means that the father and the mother have the same voice? So what would happen that So it would have to be, actually, Marshall says, that both of them are giving him Musar at the same time. It has to be that both of them are giving him Musar at the same time because, so it has, in other words, it has to be like this, Marshall says. The implication is that they're so similar in appearance and in voice, the father and the mother, that if they don't both talk to him together, then he's going to each time claim, well, always it was only my father yelling at me, always it was only my mother yelling at me. I never had both of them speaking to me and telling me not to do it. So that's the implication. Given that we say they have to have the same voice, it must be they also have the same height and the same appearance, and therefore the son could conceivably claim, if they don't actually both talk to him together, that only one of them has ever talked. That's how the Gemara is making the inference that once the pasuk establishes the coins are to be heard, they have to have the same voice. Then it means they also have to be the same in other things as well. Okay, but nevertheless, that's how it is. That's how Rabbi Yehuda understands it. There's a couple of other explanations. There's an explanation that's brought in a couple of Sfarim, in a couple of Sifrei Moser and whatever, that it also represents the idea. We have to say, I mean, as the Gemara itself is going to say in a minute, it's an unusual thing that we should say that because this boy is developing these bad habits, therefore we should execute him, therefore we should give him skill up, and he could always turn around. And usually, we would say, most of the time, if a kid is going off the derech or whatever, we would say, as Bathsheba said before, it's likely that it came from one or the other of the parents. It has to be, therefore, that both of the parents are completely on the same page and completely on the same wavelength and both giving him the same message all the time, and yet he goes off the derech, then you could say it was his fault. If there's any difference between them or what they're saying, then you can't say it was completely his fault. He's getting mixed messages. So therefore, that's represented by this idea that they have to be so similar. And then there's also the Teres Chaim. Okay, the Teres Chaim also brings from the Zohar that actually the Gemara is going to say in a minute that according to this opinion, the whole thing of Ben Sura Ramoda never could actually happen, because like you say, it's not realistic that two parents should be so similar like that. And therefore, the reason it's given in the Torah is Zroish V'Kabal Ska. You should darshan it and receive a reward, because it's part of learning Torah. The Zohar actually mentions, the Zohar explains that the Zroish V'Kabal Ska also includes that it's a hint about the Jewish people who we don't listen to, we didn't always listen to our Nevi'im and whatever, and therefore there are the consequences. So therefore, the father and the mother, according to that, represent Kutcha B'rich U'Shchinte, Zohar and Malchus, which the Eidosh Hashem Echad U'Shmo Yachad. So therefore, also Rabbi Yehuda is saying, on that sense, then, and then down here on earth, for there to be a Ben Sura Ramoda, the father and mother would have to be as identical as possible.
There are age conditions for Jewish people. There's an age condition for the Ben Sura Ramoda.
Fine, but it's not. At least in that sense, yeah.
Okay. What about the fact that you keep the son in check? We know there is a possibility.
Some of the Mephoshim say that. But when we say Jewish for Kabul Sky, means, in other words, yeah, that the child, yeah, some of the Mephoshim on the Pulsic mentioned this also, that this way, the Yoker says that, yeah, this way, the idea is the child himself will realize this is what it could lead to if I go like this. So therefore, I better be careful not to, because conceivably, it could lead to Skilla. Okay, Kaman Oswal Hodatanya. Which Tana does it go according to? This is that it says in a Braisa, Ben Sura Ramoda Lehoyov Leosad Lias. The Ben Sura Ramoda never happened, never will happen. Veloma Nichtev, so why is it written? Just Drosh V'Kabos Char. Because we should darshan it and receive reward from the Eidoshter for learning Torah. Or also, again, it means the son himself should realize. Marsha says also that it means the parents themselves should realize that, as the Gemara said before, the whole point is this is the beginning of a chain that can keep on going down and down. They have to learn to nip it in the bud ahead of time so that it doesn't become a full-blown Ben Sura Ramoda. So, come on, who does that go like? Rabbi Yehuda. That goes like Rabbi Yehuda. This that we're saying that it never happened, it never will happen, is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to the Chachamim, it's not so impossible that it could happen. You do have a bunch of criteria. It has to be within the 3 months. He has to steal money from his father and eat it up. It's conceivable for it to happen, at least. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's pretty much impossible for it to happen. That's what we're saying. So the Braisa, that says, it has to be like Rabbi Yehuda. Another possibility, you could say that this Braisa goes according to Reb Shimon. The Tanya, namely that it says in a Braisa, Amr Reb Shimon, What are you telling me? Because this kid ate a tartima of meat and drank a half a lug of Italian wine over the imam at Tzinoitzel Soikloi, you're going to think that because of that, the father and the mother are going to take him out to be given skila? What parents would do that? So obviously it never happened, it never will happen. So therefore this braisa that says Dereish V'Kaboskar can also work according to Reb Shimon. Hitaka doesn't say they have to be the same voice and the same height and whatnot, but nevertheless he says psychologically it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen because no parents would do that. And again, here Marshall says, the vote is, Reb Shimon would be saying, Dereish V'Kaboskar, the parents, it's meant as a lesson for the parents. If they start seeing their son going this direction, they should make sure to nip it in the bud to prevent it. Amr of Yonason, on the other hand, Rav Yonason says, Amiri Isif, Yashafti Al Kibre. On the other hand, Rav Yonason says, no, I saw, sort of thing, and I sat on his grave. I saw a grave of Ben Sorumo, and I sat on it. On the side of a hill, Girina Shatsu, that Kiva Eger brings from based on Shulchan Aruch, you're not actually supposed to sit on a grave, so he sat nearby. I guess so. And some of the Mephoroshim say that Rabbi Yonason is not really disagreeing with the Tanakhama. He's saying that there wasn't a full-blown Ben Soromoda, but there was Avshalom, who was very similar in some ways to a Ben Soromoda. He didn't meet the technical definition. He was much older than 13, for starters, but nevertheless, the way he acted, rebelling against his father and trying to overthrow him and even trying to kill him and whatever, is what a Ben Soromoda could end up being. And therefore Rabbi Yonason can say, in that sense, I saw something like a Ben Soromoda, kind of. Another one. Since we're talking about dinim that may never happen, keman oz v'hadatanya. Who does it go like this that we learn in a brayta? Irani dachas lehoyt of leyachid
olias.
So that's the Rabbi Yonason saying that I saw such a thing. Keman oz v'hadatanya. Who does it go like this that we learn in a brayta? Irani dachas lehoyt of leyachid olias. The irani dachas never happened, never will happen. Why is it written again? Zroish v'kabel skar, because it was darshan it and get skar for learning Torah. And who does that go like? Keman k'Rabbi Eliezer. That would be davka according to one Tanya, according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya, namely, we learn in a brayse at the very end of our Masechta when we learn the dinim of Irani Dachas. We're going to talk about this. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm going to call Irshi Yesh b'Afilu Mezuzah Achas. Any city that has even one mezuzah in it ain't a nasis Irani Dachas. Cannot become an Irani Dachas. So it's impossible. You're never going to have a city that has not even
not
one
Jewish
city. My time. What's the reason? Why does where does Rabbi Eliezer get this from? On Makro, because the pasuk says that Shlola Tikbet El Teich Rochay River Sarata Ba'ish. The pasuk says you have to gather together all the spoils of the city into the city square and burn it. The Kivin Diik Mezuzah Le'Epsher. Now, given that if there's a mezuzah in there, that's impossible. You can't burn the mezuzahs because they have the Eibush's name. Dichtiv Le'Sasim Kain LaHashem Le'Kechem, because the pasuk says you're not allowed to do such a thing, to erase or burn Hashem's name. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would hold. That's it, therefore. But in Krokodichtiv, you have to accomplish it exactly as it's written in the Pasuk. Therefore, you can't do it in that case. So therefore, the whole concept of Irani Dachas in the world. The Chachamim disagree with that, by the way. We will learn in the last
Perek.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. So according to the Chachamim, what you have to do is you take down the mezuzahs and you put them in shape. The Chachamim learned from the Pasuk over the Shlolov, or the Shlal Shemayim, that there are certain things from the Irani Dachas which Taka are not burned because they're things of Kedusha or whatever, so therefore they're Hekdesh or they're whatever, so therefore different rules apply to them. They don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that there's even one single mezuzah, there can't be an Irani Dachas, he would say that an Irani Dachas never happened, never will happen. Again, Omer Rabbi Yonason, Aniri Isi of Yashav Yaltila. Again, though, Rabbi Yonason says, I actually saw an Irani Dachas and I sat on the ruins of it. So again, what does he mean by that? Either he goes like a Chachamim, or he may mean that he saw something similar to an Irani Dachas again. For example, we've talked about before, Sdoim, to a certain extent, was treated like an Irani Dachas. We learned near the beginning of the Masechta, at the end of the first Perek, we said that you can't make three cities in a row in Irani Dachas, only one or two. And the Roger Chavar explains, based on that, why it is, out of the four cities, Sdoim, Amorda, Adma, and Sdoim, the Pasuk says, all four of them were overturned, but only two of them were burnt with fire. Why? Because they were treated as if they were an Irani Dachas. And since you can't make three Irani Dachas, only Sodom and Amorah were burnt with fire the way an Irani Dachas would be. The others were only overturned.
What do you mean three? Three in a day? Or
three. Well, he learned over there. It means three in one region. It means three near each other, yeah. So he could mean something like that. He could
mean
what? Yeah, the cities were overturned. Rashi brings on the Pasuk over there that they're all on one big slab of rock, and they overturned it. So there's that. There's also Yericho, to a certain extent, was treated like an Irani Dachas because it was burned and all the spoils had to be destroyed as well. So therefore, Rabbi Yonason could mean one of those as well. Or again, he might hold like a Chachamim that it is conceivable that there could be an Irani Dachas and that there actually was one in history. There's another one that the Gemara is going to talk about that according to one opinion could never happen, but we'll leave that for tomorrow.